Welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Samantha Clark from Panasis.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity, and this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there, and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Samantha Clark, the Vice President of Channel and Partnerships at Panasis. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Sam, hello and welcome.
Thank you, Shannon. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to learn what your journey has been and more about what you're doing. So tell me, you're the VP of Channel and Partnerships at Panasis. So tell me, what type of business is Panasis?
Panasis is a data platform. So we store and protect people's data, and we are a high performance data platform. So we make it very easy for lots and lots of users to access lots of data really fast and efficiently and easily. So we serve people that are solving the biggest genomics problems in the world. We service people that are building amazing airplanes or spaceships. We work on the really big problems with our customers. So that's why I love being here.
Oh, how fun is that? You just touched many of my geek points. Fun, you get to work with space programs. So as a VP of Channel and Partnerships, what's your typical week work like?
Lots of meetings and now meetings in person, which is great to be back out and talking to customers. It's what I really enjoy doing, and understanding how we solve people's problems. As partnerships VP, I look after our resale partners, our technology partners, folks that want to take our product and rebrand it or put it on their own platforms. So really it's finding alignments, finding partnerships that are win-win. As one of my dear leaders once told me, the best partnerships are coalitions of the willing. So folks that want to build a business together or see the value in each other. So those are the kind of partnerships I look for.
Oh, I love that. So tell me, what kind of, what's a typical problem that your clients come to you to help with?
So one area we're working in, for example, is life sciences and cryo-EM, which is a new kind of science where folks are taking 3D images of proteins and figuring out how to solve, or 3D videos of proteins and solve some big challenges in the genomic space. And a lot of them have been a typical scientist, you know, they've had a little hard drive on their desk, or they've had a small data system, or they've borrowed some IT equipment to get themselves up and running. And they've realized that they're really starting to make some progress, and they want a solution that's going to enable them to do their science easily, efficiently, and, you know, at the speed they want to. And so they'll come to us and say, hey, can you help me with my, you know, petabyte scale problem? I've got a petabyte of data, and I want to be able to access it. I want all my scientists to be able to access it. So that's the sort of challenges that we solve.
Oh, that's very cool. I love that a lot. And again, what cool industries that you're working with. So tell me, Sam, is this what you wanted to be when you grew up? Like when you were 6 years old, did you say, I'm going to be the VP of Channel and Partnerships at Panasis, at this company that solves large data problems? What was the dream?
I think if I'd known this career existed, I probably would have, but honestly, I didn't really know it existed. And I think that's one thing I think about a lot, because we We struggle with women, especially coming into our industry. And I think about how if I'd known this career existed at a young age, I probably would have, moved to this path faster. But I started out wanting to be a teacher. I had a great
Nice.
career guidance person who told me, that's great. We all want, we all want more teachers, but why don't you think about going and doing, an engineering degree or something? And if you really still want to come back to teaching, you can teach engineering. And that set me on a path to become an engineer and move through my career with lots of guidance from great people and the sales and partnerships. But it was some of the best advice I ever got. But being a teacher
Yeah.
is great, but being able to solve some of these big challenges is amazing.
Wow, that's very cool. So you went into engineering, and then so where did you go from there? So what was like the first job after getting your degree there?
My first job was designing ovens, doing the hardware electronics for ovens.
Wow.
It was a really cool role. It was a company in New Zealand that really supported graduate students coming into their first role, and I had a boss that gave me a lot of leeway to own a program. So I got to not just design the electronics, but also design how to test the electronics, how to train people on the electronics, how to define how people that all the parts around the electronics should work. And so I really got a great opportunity first off, and I think my advice to people coming into the data world is find leaders that are going to let you explore and find the things that you enjoy doing, because that really set me on a path that let me move into the roles I've joined later.
So tell me about that. So where did you go from there? That's very interesting start.
So there I went to a company called Xyratex, which was my first data storage company, and I became a project manager. So given, I got to design and do all the bits around it, I really enjoyed kind of that holistic view of a product, if you like. And so I got to work with the engineering teams, manufacturing teams, all the different folks. And I think, people coming into data, as we're talking about here today, if you're not quite sure which path to take, being in the project management or the product role, you get to see lots of different parts of the organizations and how products come together. So it's a great role if you're not quite sure where you want to specialize.
Oh, I love that a lot. So, what made you decide to get into project management and away from the engineering design? And was it to explore? And how did you build up that skill?
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of building on the engineering. I got to take those engineering skills, be able to speak the language, but also I got to interact with customers and understand what they needed and really use my engineering background to solve challenges, which I love. Problem solving, I think, sales, project management, the kind of the side of the world is all about problem solving for our customers and building the right solutions.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so then what was next?
From there, I went into customer-facing roles. So I started off as a account manager, and I worked with many of the great storage platforms in the industry. So I got to work with the likes of Data Domain and StorSimple and Pure Storage, and many companies in high growth from kind of the back end, if you like. We did their hardware, and I saw how exciting the industry was, and what sort of challenge they were solving. And when the opportunity came up to work in, if you like, the full solution business where we do the software and the platform, I jumped right in. So it's one of the reasons, I joined Panasis, is I love being able to provide the whole solution to the customers.
I love that. So it truly, we were talking a little bit about this before we started the podcast. It's following your passion. Like, does your passion led you to so many different places? And it sounds like some good mentors along the way to take you on your journey to where you are now.
Some excellent mentors. So my CEO and my leader today are folks that I've worked with for a long time now, and I follow them. My CEO, for example, is a person that kind of made probably the biggest change in my career trajectory by recommending that I learn how to speak in public. So in the old days, I would stand up and do a presentation. I was a little mouse, unless it was something I was really passionate about, then I'd stand up. But he's like, Sam, you just go and figure out how to be able to present and share everything in a way that people can absorb and makes an impact. And so I went and joined Toastmasters, which was an excellent experience. I'd recommend it to anyone. And that really enabled me to move into kind of more of the leadership roles and be able to make a bigger impact with in my career.
Oh, I love that. So you pushed yourself out of your comfort zone a bit to make that leap.
Absolutely.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
Oh, I love that. So, what has been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
My biggest lesson in my career is that the people you get to work with and your leaders make just the biggest impact to your lives. So I think we can all be passionate about a certain role or a certain problem we're solving, but to be able to grow and to be able to really excel in your position, then the folks that you work with make a big difference. So choosing a team as you move into the data world, if you're considering it, choosing a team that is supportive, is communicative, is very positive about where they want to go in the world and are trying to do good things, I think is super important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And that's the great thing about data, right? Is there's so every it's in every industry. Every industry uses it, every company uses it. There, so you can really the door is open wide to mixed passions, right? So
Yeah, absolutely. I joined this role for for the team, but also we're a very usable enterprise based data platform with incredibly high performance. And so therefore, as people move from either doing science or doing some of those big challenges and move into the world of AI, for example, we enable that and we let people do the things that they really want to do with data. And we protect their data and make the data accessible and ensure that it's safe. So we really enable people to do exciting things with data in an easy way.
And I love that you've followed your passion, like I said again, just to not only for engineering and just but to problem solving in general and helping other people solve their problems, which is very cool. So tell me, do you see so having worked with data now for a while and in your current job, what is your definition of data?
So my definition of data, I'm going to address this a slightly different way because I'm going to talk about more the scale of data, because I think, over the years, data has changed. Think back to maybe the 70s. There was, I think we figured out when I was working with Seagate and we were 100% focused on how much data there was in the world. And in the 70s, if you took all the data that had been created in the world, it would have filled up a 10 terabyte drive. So there were 3.5 drives that would fit on your desk. As mobiles came out and people started taking digital pictures, that data growth increased exponentially. And now we're in data 4.0, where machines are creating data. So whereas before, maybe the main biggest data generation side, if you like, would be a movie set where you're creating 40 terabytes of data with lots of people running around, actors, with sound, all those good things. Now, an autonomous vehicle will create 100 terabytes of data by itself. It doesn't even need a driver, right? So I think the scale of data is kind of how I define data. So we're really focused on those petabyte scale challenges. And as the world evolves, folks talk about data being the new oil or the new gold. It's making it accessible, shareable, ensuring it's safe. And so really that's how I define data by its scale.
Love it. So, and how do you work with it?
Work with data.
With
Yeah.
data.
I work with data every day, I think. I became a new mom recently, so
Oh, congratulations.
it's filled with pictures of my son. That's my gold data. But I think, as I look at our customers and how they use it, and that's where I really think about every day how we make it easier. So people want to store data on-prem or close to them. I was just talking to a scientist just earlier this morning and saying how, people who put their lifeblood into their experiments, they want to be able to touch their data almost, want to see where it is. But the cloud is an amazing way to transform your IT infrastructure. And so making people feel comfortable with on-prem and cloud and having their data where it is, the things that I think about every day.
Wow, very, very nice. So, do you see the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
Absolutely see it increasing. I think, spoke about that data generation, the amount, sheer amount of data increasing exponentially with machines creating data. It's not just autonomous vehicles. Now I think a plane downloads a petabyte of data after a long journey with all the sensors and all those metrics that can now be captured as we evolve into the world of IoT. And so just the amount of data that's available is increasing exponentially, but also the way we use data with AI has changed incredibly. So things like being able to expedite a years of experimentation, kind of like we did with COVID, by generating an AI version of the experiment and coming to those results just so much quicker, makes the data role so important.
A lot of people worry that AI will replace data jobs, but there's so many humans needed to manage that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I read a great article from a friend who's in product marketing talking about how AI is really like the compiler. When we first started building code, there was ticket stamps and we had to compile everything from basic language, et cetera, manually. Now we can build a program with a GUI, something we can look and see, essentially. And AI is kind of like that. Like you say, it's taking our data and it's making it easy to use with a lot of tools rather than having to do it all ourselves. But the data roles are just going to keep increasing as we see the things that can be done with data.
Absolutely. So, what advice then would you give to people looking to get into a career in data management? You touched on a couple points already, but any additional advice?
To your point, finding something you're passionate about, finding that why, what problem do you really want to solve? What makes you motivated? Being a new mom, I think about making the world better for my son as we go forward. So, global warming or things that are really challenging us. And I think finding something that you find you are passionate about, and then putting skills on top of that, like the engineering background or the data science background or whatever skill you bring to it, is a brilliant combination to be successful.
Absolutely. Oh, Sam, this has been so great. So I'd be remiss though if I didn't ask, if people wanted to learn more about Panasys, how would they look you up?
We are on LinkedIn. We have a great website, panasys.com. We have a lot of information on our website about how you can use Panasys, how our customers use Panasys today, what they love about it. We have customers like NASA who stood up at a supercompute this year and talked about how we'd managed to make their lives so much easier. They show this great graph where we have they've kind of been running about 70% uptime, so only being able to use their data resources about 70% of the time. And they started using Bonasses, and it came up to about 96%, I think. And how they could use a quarter of a person to manage it versus a whole person or 85% of a person, and so they could put more resources to doing what NASA does well. So that sort of thing is available on our website if you want to learn more about Bonasses and the things we solve.
So I have to ask you, what's the largest amount of data that you've seen?
So the large amount of data I have seen, we have one customer who's in the oil and gas industry that's storing over 75 petabytes of data themselves. But Bonasses is responsible for storing and protecting exabytes of data throughout the world. So we're really proud of that.
Very cool. That's just it's still stunning, in this day and age to hear your numbers like that. It's really truly amazing. So, Sam, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Thank you for the opportunity. I love, as I spoke about earlier, I think knowing a career in data was available in my younger years would have got me very excited. And one of the things I'm passionate about is bringing young people, especially women, into STEM and bring that diversity into dataversity. And so I think I take any opportunity like this to really talk about what an interesting and challenging space it is to work in, and encourage young people to come join us.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we've started our own initiatives to bring in more women into data management and governance as well. So that's really exciting. Sam, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you today and learn about, and congratulations on your new baby boy. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Shannon. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And thanks to all of our listeners out there. If you'd like to keep up to date on the latest podcast and the latest in data management education, you may go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone. Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.